Okay, we're going to start the Gemara on top. Dalet Amud Aleph. We're going through the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel says that Maveh, the word Maveh means shame. What shame?
Teeth,
which means what damage of eating, consumption. And if that, why does he say that? Because shor, an ox, means what?
Gory.
Karen. Good. Gory. And what is the, when the Gemara says, Mishnah says, lo re'izeh, kere'izeh, this side of this is not like this, in other words, each one has a stringency the other one doesn't have. What's the stringency that Karen has? What is Karen, what makes it worse, more of a reason to say you pay?
It intends to do it.
Intends to damage, right? Intention. That's what makes goring much worse than other things, because it's intending damage. So therefore, if the Torah only wrote shor, we wouldn't be able to learn mavet from it. That's why we also have to write mavet. So let's write mavet, not shor, but mavet. Shame has a stringency that shor doesn't have. And what's that?
Pleasure.
Pleasure. It gets pleasure from it, so I couldn't learn Karen from that. So that Gemara had trouble with that answer. And what was the trouble with that answer?
The Rego.
What happened to Rego?
But there was the other one.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that was the question. Okay, that wasn't the question.
Right? No, that's fine.
What did you like?
I'm having trouble with the whole Bahama.
I'm okay.
Hey, you good?
No, this was fine. This is no problem.
The screen.
This was the correct Kavachomer.
Yeah.
This is after the problem with the Kavachomer, right?
First, they started with the yes side first.
But now this is the way he wanted to learn it. But still, there's a problem because what about Regel?
That was.
And if you're going to say, well, we left it out, it says, why would we leave it out? Right? Just omit it? Well, we got extra words. But even extra words. Remember in another parak, remember he said it, well, in extra words, yeah. See there you have in point 21, the extra words in the Mishnah 9b, if they damage, the damage must pay the Maitav land, that includes Regel, but still, I didn't want to do
that's
that.
The same parak. It's another
okay,
parak.
Good. Fine, I lost. See, okay, be careful how you touch it, man.
You're good.
So, but point 22, Regel should have been taught explicitly. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's answer in point number 14 is rejected. This was Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Shmuel, and the Gemara rejects him. So now we know. Shmuel said, Mavet is shame. He definitely said that. Shmuel, we don't know the rationale, all the details to his position. Rabbi Yehuda said, well, these are the details. If Maveh is shame, then Shor is Karen, and we had all this. And we said, that doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Reject it. So now we need a new position in Shmuel. We need a new interpretation for Shmuel over here. If you want to maintain that Maveh is shame, how are we going to maintain this?
Sure,
so now we need a new fellow to come along.
Sure,
and that's why we're going to see you jumping the gun, my friend.
Yeah, but it's the only thing it could be.
No, it could be anything. Just what? You just know the answer. That's for us the only thing that could be.
The animal rubbing against.
That's a tolda.
But was that tolda of Rego?
Rubbing, okay, you tell me, guy.
Rubbing with what?
One second. It's rubbing against the wall. What is it a tolda of? What is it? Why is it doing it? Now use the logic. Why is it doing it? Why is the animal doing it? Because it intends to damage?
No.
Pleasure. If it's pleasure, what does it go under?
Shame.
Right? See, once you understand what each of is about, what the point of the stringency is, then you can understand what the tolda
is. What I'm trying to say is, Regel is just a natural thing the animal walks. So it's by its nature, it's going to trample on things. It doesn't have intent to damage when it's walking.
So fine.
It doesn't, well, it's not like goring, so maybe...
So what are you asking?
Say it's like shame.
Maybe what? It's like shame?
It's like shame, because...
What's like
shame?
Right.
No.
He has
but
no
even,
intent to damage.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The Torah goes out of its way to write Regel separately.
Yes.
Why did the Torah write Regel separately? Must be you can't learn one out from the other.
Right.
Remember, it's an Av. We learned that Brisa much earlier, that it's an Av. If Regel is an Av, it means the Torah went out of its way to write a word from Vishilach Es HaBe'era. That X word Shilach tells me Regel. The Torah wrote Regel. The Torah went out of its way. Why isn't the Mishnah listing it as well? That's the problem. If the Torah made a separate Av, we can't ignore it. All right, so before we come, so now we go back to the Gemara. And now you got a, here's a good way, a little tip over here. Hello?
It's coming.
It's coming. Okay.
You just flip it up.
Ella Omar Rava. One second. Bing. Ella. Whenever the Gemara starts with the word Ella, but, that's what Ella means. But, Omar Rava, Rava's going to give a new interpretation to Shmuel. Now that Rabbi Yehuda's knocked out, his interpretation's out, we have Rava's interpretation. Ella, whenever it says Ella, it's like Gemara says, forget everything else you learned. All right. Guys, as much as we spent the half an hour yesterday and the lesson before trying to understand Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation, out.
For a second.
Whole new way of looking at it. Ella, but a brand new way of looking at it. All right? So let's see what Rava has to say. Tana shor leraglo umave leshino. The Tana taught ox in the Mishnah in reference to damage inflicted by its foot, and taught mave in reference to damage inflicted by its tooth. Okay, so now we now say, instead of saying Rabbi Yehuda said Shor is Karen, now we're saying that what? That Shor is Regel, trampling. Okay, and somehow that's supposed to be better. And I know the question's bothering you right away, right?
What about the opposite situation? What about
Karen.
Oh, what about Karen? The Gemara will get to that question.
You just flipped it around. Now we made Rego in.
And okay. Just did the opposite argument.
Okay, hold on. So that's a question that's waiting in the wings. It'll come in about 3 steps. Right? But what? Even if you're going to say it's Rego, what do we have to do next? What do we have? If you're going to say, you know why Mav is shame? Because sure it's Rego? And Mav is shame. So now what do we have to do? What's the next thing he's going to have to do to make to say that this position makes sense?
Have to incorporate the other two things.
Shame and vice versa.
Now we have to go to the low re'i. It's this yes. One isn't like the other one. This one isn't like the other one.
Yeah, in the mission.
Okay, let's think. What makes shame unique? Well, pleasure is unique. Does the animal get pleasure when it tramples over things?
Absolutely not.
No. Okay. Now think, what makes regel uniquely strict?
Regular.
It's common.
Common.
The animals walk more than they eat, right?
A lot more.
It's more common. So let's see if maybe that's what the Gemara says. Let's see if we got it right. So that's what we're saying. That's the next point. Vehochi kamar. And this is what the Mishnah means. Hey Kuf stands for Vahachi Kamar. Let's go with the flow of the Mishnah. It says, Lo Re'i HaRegel. The nature of Regel is not the same, because Shehezeka Motsui. Its damage is common. Okay? Therefore, it's not similar. What does it mean, it's common? See notes above. Okay, great. Its damage is common because it walks very often. So that is stricter than Kiri HaShein. Like Shein, like consumption, Shein HaZeka Motsui. Its damage is not common. Therefore, if we only wrote Regel, we couldn't learn Shein from it, because Regel is stricter because it's a more common damage. If it's a more common damage, there's more negligence on the owner's part. It's common for it to walk and damage. So you better be on top of it. I couldn't learn shame from it because it's not common. That's why the Torah had to write shame. Okay, so let's write shame and not write regel. Well, he says no. V'lo rei hashein, and we can't compare the nature of shame. What's the difference there? The stringency sheyesh hanah lezeka. This pleasure to the one gets gratification for damaging. Right, the nature of Shein, where there is gratification derived from the animal, from its damage, is not similar. Kerei haregel, like regel, Shein hanola zeka. There is no pleasure for the one who damages. So that will be the new understanding of the Mishnah according to Shmuel. Rava explains Shmuel that Shein means, that Mave means Shein, eating. Why? Because Shor means rego. How do we explain the flow of the Mishnah? This one isn't like this one? Well, the stringency of rego is more so than shein in regard to the damage being more common. Since it's more common, we couldn't learn shein from rego, therefore the Torah had to write shein as well. And if we only wrote shein, it has a stringency that it gives pleasure to the one who damages, which rego doesn't have, so we couldn't learn rego from shein. And therefore we need to write both of them. That's the way he will understand the way Shmuel will have to understand the Mishnah. Now,
question.
Yeah?
I realize regular is more common, but it's not like it's uncommon for animals to eat.
But
and they eat regularly, like all the time. So,
but
it'll
more
so
commonly eat
common.
It'll be more commonly eating in the barn.
Question of frequency.
Not, it's not going to damage through eating, but it's going to damage through walking.
They graze over the fence and they graze in the other. I mean, they
not common. How often do they get out of the fence and graze somewhere else?
They're not getting on the fence. Why
would they be trampling then if they're not getting out of the fence?
Because they trample, they have to go other places. So they were going on the street occasionally. They
animal
off
animal
the path.
Walks more than it eats.
I know, but I'm
that
just
makes
saying
it more common.
Common. It's not
so more common,
It's the degree of common.
I think
Joe, you haven't been out to the country. You haven't raised so you see, you're just speaking on strict theory.
He just
all you have to do is deal with cattle for a while. You'll know what it's all about.
You deal with cattle every day, don't you?
What?
I dealt in a barn for 8 years.
Ooh.
Yeah. So tell us about the barn.
So I could clearly tell you, they damage a lot more through motion than they do through eating. Because eating,
even an animal kick a horse. Stand by on a horse; it'll kick you in the head.
Yeah,
you know,
an animal
more so. He can his movement does more damage than his eating does.
Farm.
That's what we're saying.
He's big. He's a behemoth.
Right. Well, you know, they're gonna kick people in the head. You know, use their body to damage much more than eating other people's food. We're not saying eating it doesn't happen, but it's not as common.
Even if you're higher because he's eating. And all the more so, you should be chayav for regal.
No, but the opposite way. We're looking at what stringency she eats.
No, because
the reason we make regal, the more common, you have to be more careful.
Right.
Since it's more common, you should be more cognizant of it. Because it happens often.
Right.
So you have to be on top of it more. While if for it to eat, it's much less common for it to start eating in another field. It's much less common for that to happen. So, that was an accident. I didn't know. It's like a Tom. You know, I didn't know it was going to gore. I didn't know it was going to eat. It's not that frequent. While trampling is very, very common. More common. Okay. So now we come to the next point, which is the Karen Mai. But what of Karen? We left Karen out. And I remembered to even put it in.
Uh-oh. An extra pocket for
that. Where is it, Rabbi? You put it in there.
It's Farmer Martin from now on, is that it?
I wasn't a farmer.
There it is. Okay. It's
a ranch.
Where is it? So I don't pick it up. It's all just to make me more lazy. It's not good. Okay, more answers. Part of the question. Shira, did the Tana simply omit it? Right? This was before. The answer is the same answer as before. Page 15b. Remember we said it before. There's extra words in the other Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, Keshehezik Chavamazik, when it damages, the damager has to pay. Those are extra words as it pays from the best of the land. That's from the next Mishnah, which is a repetition of this Mishnah. So it's giving the same answers gave before.
I thought it was a 9b.
9b, 9b, whatever. 9b, right. Okay, 9b. So that those extra words comes to teach you that. Extra words, which Gemara is not going to ask the very same question again. For the list of hedges, to say it right out in the open of the beginning Mishnah. And that was the knockout last time to Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation.
It's not going
to
be a knockout here.
That was a knockout right there. Why don't we put regal together in the Mishnah? It was a knockout. Here, Gemara's going to have an answer to the knockout.
That's right, that's how come it stands.
The answer to the knockout is that our Mishnah is speaking about. B'mu'adam mitchilasam kamairi. Our Mishnah is listing the damagers that are considered a mu'ad. A mu'ad means
from
one
the get-go.
That right away you're obligated. Right. Away. Remember that we said by goring there's a distinction between tam and mu'ad. goring is so unusual that the first time it gores, what do you pay?
Half.
Till three times. So goring, there's tam, there's muad. The other things, shein, eating, regel, those things, you pay full right away. They're muads right away. Muad is means you have to be concerned right away that they're going to damage, right? So therefore, the mush is going to, he's going to answer, you know why we didn't put Karen in? Because in this Mishnah, the first Mishnah only, in listing the damages, the Tana speaks only of those that are muad from the outset. You see? And you look in Rashi. That says, regel, ubor, v'shem, v'esh. What, look at the four that are listed. Regel, trampling, bor, a pit, shem, teeth, esh, a fire, muad, and michilasam. They're muad right from the get-go. L'shalim, nesek, sham, to pay the full damage. The lo polygraph money, the Torah doesn't take a distinction between tam l'muad, between a tam and a muad. Ela b'negicha, only by goring. And therefore the Tana only lists those damages that are muadim right away from the get-go. Betamim, but something that's a tam. Ulupsof muadim, that only later becomes a muad. Lo kamairi, the Mishnah was not speaking about those cases. That's why it left it out. In other words, when the Mishnah says, Arba avos nezikin, there are four avos nezikin, it's only speaking about avos that are a muad from the get-go. And that's within reason. The Tanakh can say, I picked a certain group that have a commonality to it. There are four avos in which the payment is complete from the first damage. And these are the four, only these four. There's goring. Goring doesn't work that way. It starts with first tam, then muad. How do you know it pays it all? Well, later on page 9b, it says, and when it damages, you pay from the best land. So that's when we get it, we throw it in later, but we understand why it doesn't have to be put into the Mishnah.
Shein regal, is it full payment?
Full payment right away.
Okay.
Anything else, it's full payment. Where am I here? What do I want? Full payment right away. So let's go over the last four steps. Point 23. Rava answers. That's the question of point 13. What was the question on point 13? Why does Shmuel not agree to Rav? How will he understand the word shore of the Mishnah? So now we have over here, Rava answers, ox teaches regel, and mavet teaches shein. This is how the Mishnah is now understood. The stringency of regel, which is common, is unlike that of shein, which is not common. The stringency of shein, in which there is hanah, benefit to the damager, is unlike that of regel, which has no hanah to the damager. Gemara asked the question, did the Tana teach regel and shein and omit Karen? Gemara answers the extra words in the Mishnah 9b, if they damage, the damager must pay for meitav, includes Karen. Objection, Karen should have been taught explicitly. 27, the Tana only lists explicitly things that are muad, pay full damage from the beginning. And now we have come to a resolution, so to speak. Now I've modified. If you look what I did now, watch this. We
modified.
Look at the central issue. Look how I've modified at the bottom there. Whenever I'm using this thing, always look at the bottom line. That's what I'm going to work. Don't look at the top to the bottom. What we said, I started off saying, what does the Mishnah mean with the words mava? Now I've added, because you see, as the sugi is evolving, we also have to know what it means, and shore. If you look at your old notes, you won't see it there, right? And shore. What does it mean when it says mava? And shore. And what is the understanding of the re'i, the stringency which each of them has? And I said, that's what this sugi is really telling us. When the Mishnah says mava, what does mava mean? What's happened? The understanding of mava is totally dependent on how you understand what shore means. And now you tell me what shor ma means, so how does it mean if the Torah only wrote one and not the other? I couldn't learn one from the other because one is the stringency, the other is that. What does that mean? So now we have, so what did we say? Well, that was a question of understanding and we said it's a machlokas. Well, now we're beginning to see the ideas over here that at least we have Shmuel's position very clear. Point 23 is the final understanding of Shmuel the way Rava explains it. So when you look at this Mishnah, now, let's see, Earl will be proud of me. Let me see.
Wow.
If you look at this Mishnah, boom, That's good, huh, Earl? Yeah? So let's look at, now that we, that's a little bit smaller print, can you guys still see it? Look at the condition, shore and ox. Rav explains this to mean Karen and Shane and Regel, and Shmuel explains this to mean only Regel, right? Then when I put Mava in, Rav explains this to mean Adam, a person, and Shmuel explains this to mean Shane. Okay, that's how now you have to plug it into the mission when you learn the Mishnah. When we started this a couple months ago, we said, well, we don't know. Because we needed this whole Sugya 11 to just tell us these two explanations of that Mishnah. You guys with me on that? Is this too big? Okay, you see?
That's good.
When we talk about shore, we have, now we understand. Rav explains this to mean Karen, Shane, and Reglin. Shmuel explains it to only mean Regel. Bor, yep. Mave, Rav explains to mean an autumn, a person. Shmuel explains to mean a Shane. And now if I really wanted to go more, you know, maybe we'll fill in over here, point number by the answer, we can only learn one from the other. By point one, we cannot learn Mava from Shor, as Shor has a stringency that Mava does not have, we should really have in, according to Shmuel, how will that be? What's the stringency that Shor has that Mava doesn't have?
Well, we know that.
Well, Shor is now Regel, what's the stringency? It's common, right, that Mava does not have. Vice versa. Mave has a stringency. What's the stringency of Mave, which is Shane? What's the stringency? It is? What? Pleasure. See, now you have to plug all this in. So really, what I should write over here, what should I write over here? You know, we should, oh, see, my thing ran out. C. We should put a bracket in here, right? We should put it in here. C, Sugya, where's the number sign? Oh, number 11, which explains.
Sugya 11? We don't have Sugya 11.
Wait, this was an 11? What's it called?
Yeah, 11.
Of course it is.
Sugya 11.
Which explains the stringencies according to Rav. Okay, how's that? See, now we're cross-referencing.
Stringency is GE.
Well, guess what?
Let's spell check. In the previous you got to spell it with an E there. Stringy. Put it after the E. Just go there. And put
after
it
what?
After the G.
What's the problem? No, it's problem. I don't know how to do on this to make the cursor move back.
Just go back.
Push and hold. It's the same. Push on where the eye is. Put your finger on the eye. Put your finger on the eye and hold it there. Move it over. You see it.
Stringent. So what's wrong with it?
Stringency.
No, there's an E after the G.
There's an E after the G.
String E.
Keep your hand on it. And you move it.
No, you've got to move over one. There, that's it. Why do you put an E there?
And I backspace it, no?
It's hard to do.
Stringent.
Just put an E there.
Instead of the I?
Yeah.
Instead of the stringency.
Well, now I got to move over one more.
You could just
leave your hand on
it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Spending too much time on it. Okay, but anyway, I'm showing you how we're cross-referencing the notes now. So when you're going to learn this Mishnah again, we can go over your notes. It says, oh, go to Sugya number 11. Right? And then I should really get to the exact point. What was this last point, Martin? What do we number this point?
Well, I have different numbers than you.
Uh-oh.
I have different numbers than you.
Yeah.
But point 23.
That's what I'm at.
Bingo, right there. It's point 23. Point. So C, Sugya number 11. According to Rav Shmuel, okay, in point number.
Just say 23.
There's numbers right there.
23. Okay, now you know exactly where to look. You scroll down to 11, 23. That's the stringency. That's what I'm having to write it out. So now that finishes that little domain. Now, what's the next thing the Gemara is going to have to do? So we're finished with Shmuel. We now know how Shmuel, the way Rava explains Shmuel, when you learn the Mishnah, this is how you learn the Mishnah. That lo rei shame, lo rei mave kishor, and shore, not like mave. When the Mishnah says the words, that the Torah had to write separately mave and shore separately because they have different stringencies. What are the stringencies? Well, first of all, mave means shame. Shore means regel. The stringency that regel has, it's more common. The stringency shame has, it has pleasure. What happened to Karen? We're leaving Karen for the next Mishnah, because this Mishnah only talks about things that are muads from the beginning, and that's one whole way to understand the Mishnah. But now we have to go back to Rav.
Yeah, why? How does Shmuel?
Rav is learning things differently.
Why is Shmuel is the right one?
No. Shmuel, we understand him.
We understand.
We have now a working understanding of Shmuel. So now, whenever you learn this Mishnah, from that, the next time you come around in your life and learn this Mishnah, teach the Mishnah to somebody, you know I got to go to Sugi 11, point 23, and according to Shmuel, this is how the Mishnah is understood.
You're going to publish these things, are you?
I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Well, Earl will tell me what I'm going to do with it. But when we have, first it's for your own chazara. You know what we're going to do on Shavuos night?
Yes,
we're going to go over, not the Gemara, the notes. We're going to go by Shavuos. We'll have a whole parak done. So I'm going to tell you guys, how are you going to learn a whole parak in one night? Because I hope every Shabbos you guys are going over these notes.
Every Shabbos, every night. What are you talking about?
At least every Shabbos, you have the notes.
Every
you have notes. You go over the notes, right? And then you go over and
you're
keep
doing all this
over.
For once a week and review. They should be doing it nightly.
Okay, don't give so much musa. Okay. Anyway, so I'm just saying,
this is Torah. It's kind of
Shmuel's night.
This is Shmuel's
night. We'll have like 60, 70 pages, and we're going to just learn the book, and you're going to know all the opinions, all the positions, and then Earl's going to publish it. Right? Then we put it on the Mac and we publish it. We send it to Torah Masora and he's placed it, and you'll have it. You'll have it. Okay. We move now on to the next part of the Gemara.
Now, how does
Shmuel? We understand Shmuel. But Shmuel, why don't you like Rav? That's the next point. Shmuel, my time.
Like him, disagrees.
Disagrees. My time lo amar kishmuel. And Shmuel, why does he not say as Rav that Mava infers man? What was wrong? What's wrong with Rav's position according to Shmuel? What does Shmuel not like about Rav's position? That becomes the next point, the next question in the Gemara, right? The next point.
Is that
the next point?
So we don't have a conclusion here.
Well, the conclusions are going to be when we finish Rav. And when I finish Rav, then the bottom will say exactly these points.
Okay.
So we gotta wait, because we're not finished with the sugya. Amar Lach, Shmuel would say to you, now not Shmuel himself, because Shmuel's not alive, but the rabbis who are the students, there's a law, Shmuel would respond the following, why he doesn't subscribe to Rav's position. He says, E salka daitach adam, if you would think that mava refers to a man, if you think it refers to a man, we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem is, let's look at the next Mishnah later on. As a matter of fact, even further on, I think it's on Daf 15, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, on 15b, there's other Mishnahs. Now, obviously, it'd be better if we knew all the Mishnahs before we started the Gemara, but we can't do everything.
We don't know.
But there's a later Mishnah, and it lists muads. Right? And look what it lists. Ha ketani seifa. For the Mishnah states in a latter section. Now, I'll give you a little backwards. These notes are amazing. It just fills in what we don't know, right? The notes say, below 15b, later on, the Mishnah states there are five tamim. There are, in other words, case in which the owner is required to pay only half damages for the first year occurrence of damage, and five muadim, case in which he must pay full damages. The section of the Mishnah cited here is an excerpt from the list of the five muadim. That's a later Mishnah. It says five tams, five muads. And in that excerpt, what does the excerpt say? They throw in shor hamuad, a shor that's a muad, okay. v'shor ha-mazik v'shus ha-nizik, and a shor that damages in the damagee's property, v'ha-adam. V'ha-adam, and the man. Aha! So since man is mentioned in the later Mishnah, it would be superfluous to mention it in our Mishnah. Thus, mava cannot mean man. In other words, you know, I don't want to put man in because I got man in later. And he's okay with that because he also doesn't have Karen in either. Because it's one of those moods. So since he's not there, he takes him out. Therefore, it's not there. That's why he doesn't like Rav's position. Rav says, oh, mava means a man. A man? A man? They're going to talk about man in the third Mishnah. And 15b, they're going to list a man as a muad. It's already listed there. Why do I got to say it twice? So therefore, it must be it's not a man. You understand? Because it's already telling me man later on. So Nagamor comes back and asks on Shmuel, wait a minute, that's what you don't like about him? So now, according to what you don't like, and you're saying that the author of the Mishnah excluded man, so why did the author of the Mishnah exclude man? That becomes the next question. If you're going to say Shmuel doesn't like Rav's position, why? Because Rav is saying that mava means a man. Mava means a man. Boom. Well, I don't have him yet. I got to put Rav on the board. Okay, we got Rav, and he says that mava is Adam, and of course, what does Eshor is? Shane, Regel, Karen. So what does Shmuel not like about Rav's position is because this Adam is mentioned later on in a Mishnah later on as a Muad. So it's already mentioned. So therefore, it can't be that. So now the Gemara goes back and asks on Shmuel, I understand, so you're saying the Mishnah can't mean that, but according to you that the Mishnah doesn't say, why did the Mishnah not put Adam in? Why did the Mishnah not put Adam in and not put him in the third Mishnah? Why, according to you, that you don't like Rav saying it's Adam, because really it shouldn't be Adam, because Adam is listed in the third Mishnah. So according to you, Rav, according to you, Shmuel, why was man not listed in the Mishnah? That's the next question. But let the Tana teach man in the first section of the Mishnah, along with the other primary writers. Why are you saying the Mishnah's taking it out? So he says, because the Mishnah is speaking, what's the common denominator in our first Mishnah? Beniske mamon kamairi. The Mishnah speaks only of damage inflicted by one's property. Look, a shor is an animal, it's your property. A boar is considered your property. What's the other one? If you're going to say, according to him, that shor is only what? Shor is only regel, and mave is shane, right? Property. Fire is your property. It's talking about your property, but not you. It's talking about property damages. Our ba of us in the Zeke and Forest that are property damages. That's how he learns it, and not beniske gufo, but does not speak of the damage inflicted by oneself. Therefore, thus, the category of man has no place in the opening of the Mishnah. So now we understand why Shmuel does not like Rav's position. Because he says it doesn't seem likely that man should be put in the Mishnah. Number one, it's in the later Mishnah. And that the common thread of this Mishnah, the first Mishnah, is property damage as opposed to human damage. So why put human damage in there? Right?
Damage to property, not property.
No, 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 no.
Damage not by your property.
Damage by your ox, property. Your my property is my ox, my fire, my pit. Niske mamon means your property that damages. Property includes not just land, anything niske you own. Niske means damages. Let's write the word down. Nezek is damage. Niske is the plural possessive. Damages of mamon, your money, your property. That's what this Mishnah is talking about. Niske mamon, your property that damages, opposed to you damaging. Right? The four avos, if shade, Karen, regel, pit, fire, those things are your property that damages. That's the common denominator. That makes sense. You damaging. That's in the third Mishnah. You're with the people of the Muats over there, the man. That's why it doesn't belong over here. So now it fits in very nicely. Rav learns this Mishnah is talking about Arba Avos Nezikin that are Niske Mamon only, that are property damages.
Now, Shmuel learns it that way.
I'm sorry, Shmuel. Thank you. Shmuel, good. Shmuel learns that it's things that are property damage. So he wants to keep it all consistent with that. He had to deal with, why did we take Karen out of the game? We took Karen out of the game because we're talking about things that are muads from the get-go. We now, the common thread, according to Shmuel, is muads, property damage. Now we got to find four things that fit into that category of muads and property damage. So Karen, which is now regel, that's a muad property damage. Mavet, which is shame, that's property damage as well. That's a muad from the get-go. That's the common thread in Shmuel. Right? Now we already know why Rav didn't like Shmuel. Rav didn't like Shmuel because, you know, shor should mean all three.
Yes.
That was his starting point. Shor should mean all three. Isn't that the simplest way of... In other words, what are we looking at? Are we looking at, you know, the whole Mishnah? We're looking at shor. Rav says, let's look at what... When you see the word shor, what comes to your mind? Well, Shane, Regal, Karen. So I don't like that Shmuel is picking one out of the three of shor. First we throw out Karen, then we said Regal. That's not when I hear shor. I hear all the things that a shor does. That's what Rav didn't like with Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't like with Rav. We only want to pick things that are property damage, and man is mentioned later on anyway. Now you're going to see where one doesn't hold to the other. Yes, Larry?
So all this argument about Mavet. Mavet came from the Torah.
Well, it's two separate psukim that could either mean shame or adam. Can mean either one.
So we pull that out of the Torah.
That, yeah, in other words, where do you have the right to say Mava means Shane? Where do you have the right to say Mava means Autumn? Because there is a source that could show it could mean that. But is it an empirical source? No, because it's one that says Shane, one says Mava. So now we have to decide, you have something to hang on from the Torah, and I need logic to work out. So let's just look at the points I wrote down, and we'll stop here, and we'll continue tomorrow. The points on the page is... Why is it not...
Rolling the other way.
All right. Just today. Okay. I have to get better at it. So now we're up to... question 28. Why did Shmuel not like Rav? Answer. A later mission, 15b, teaches a muad ox. An ox the damage on the premise of the victim. And man. This implies that our mission does not discuss man. Question on Shmuel. Why doesn't our Mishnah discuss man? Answer. Our Mishnah discusses only damages of a man's property, not of man himself. So what's left to do tomorrow? What's still missing in our whole discussion?
Sure. No, we
Rav, you now need to know how you learned the Mishnah.
Yes.
Mava is not like Shor. Shor is not like Mava. With your explanation, what's the stringency that man has? What's the stringency Shane, Regal, and Karen have that the other one doesn't have?
Sure.
You have to explain all that. And once he starts explaining it, the Gemara has a lot of questions on that. And if we get to the end of that, that will be the end of this sugya.
Oh, wow. Could be a lot of points.
Someone, you got a headache, yeah?
Yeah.
What are we going to do the Rashi?